One Man Revolution, Volume 4, Episode 133.
Long live the revolution.
We are back. Back again, live from many bunkers in many places. The revolutionary is still traveling. He may be joining us later. We're not sure. But in the meantime, I am the comrade, and I'm joined by...
the Canadian.
And...
the artist.
And that's it, I think, for tonight, for now. So that's all right.
Good.
So it's been, as the revolutionary likes to say, 933 days... but for sane people, that's 2 years, 6 months, and 22 days of legitimate power under President Joe Biden.
And in 8 hours.
Week, how many hours?
8 hours. Like noon on the
20th. Is this morning on noon? Okay, so it's been 8 hours. Yeah, two years, 6 months, 22 days, and 8 hours. 19 seconds if you're data. this week,
thank you,
stuff
Captain.
Happened. All right. I always make the mistake of leaving my beer in a koozie before I show it off. I'm drinking the 6-Point Bengali IPA, not a double IPA, the standard IPA. They had a 15 beer variety pack on sale at my local liquor store, so
nice.
I am well stocked.
You've got some resin in there, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And I'm finishing off what's left of this poor man's Manhattan. There we go. Canadian, what you got?
I am finishing off a poor man's margarita, in other words, tequila. it's actually quite good añejo tequila. You shouldn't put it in a margarita. And then a Sweetwater hazy double IPA. I've been drinking this a couple of weeks now because I got a 12-pack of them and they got to go.
Hey. All these cans have holes in them.
Yes.
Artist, what do you got over there?
I have a... Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh!
And some strange person.
An invisible Mexico Coca-Cola.
Ah, it's ghostly.
Yes.
We are being joined. Please hold. Well, Vampoid, while he loads in. Last week, the revolutionary joined us from abroad. She's a very nice lady. And
married.
And married, yeah. And
he was sleeping with a married woman.
The scoundrel. Yeah. Oh, there he is.
The first time.
Oh, damn. He's in the studio.
Look at that.
I made it all the way to the studio this time.
Nice. And?
And?
Oh, the revolutionary.
Hey!
I've literally been up for 2 days, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if you need to just pop in and leave, that's cool. If you want to hang out, that's fine.
Well, I just wanted to say, Ron DeSantis is a scoundrel.
Mm.
He's horrible in every way possible, mm-hmm. and he hates to be called Pudding Fingers.
Pudding Fingers!
So he also hates to be called Rhonda.
Yeah, so just the other day... He was campaigning in, I guess, Ohio, and a group of ladies shut him down by saying "Go home, Pudding Fingers."
Yeah, it's kind of thing he can't take.
I'm very happy that it wasn't President Trump that came up with a very good nickname for Ron DeSantis. We also know that if his campaign survives to the primaries, that's what his stage name will be.
Oh, absolutely. It's terrible.
We can only hope.
Yeah, I just thought I'd pop in and say hi. I really can't even make coherent sentences.
No, you're doing it.
I have a Canadian cure for that.
What's that?
You pour yourself a tall boy full of Canadian 18-year-old Canadian whiskey.
Hmm. Yeah, that definitely makes then you make coherent sentences.
It's like you know, it's like Mr. Burns, all his diseases are keeping him alive. It's like that. You counteract tiredness with drunkenness.
I thought you were going to suggest Timmy Who's, and I was, and that would have, you know.
Oh, good old Tim Hortons.
Hortons, yeah. Timmy yeah. Who coffee.
Timmy Ho's.
Yeah. Well, that's where you go if you finish the Canadian whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And get yourself some donuts, eh?
Well, I would have been remiss if I didn't just pop in. You all have a great show, and I'll catch up with y'all later.
Get some rest.
We started traveling at, well, we left our apartment, so we got up at like 3 a.m. local, which was 11 o'clock last night for y'all. And then we left at 4:30, and then we've been traveling the whole day. So, yeah, it's been a bit of time.
Welcome home. We're glad you're back. We're glad you're safe. Yeah. I can't wait to hear all about it.
There will be many stories, and I will regale you with them at another time.
Yes, good.
Probably on Monday.
Perfect.
Sunday.
Yes, or what?
Or Sunday.
Or Sunday. Sunday's good days, too.
Yeah, yeah. But 1 o'clock at the other place.
Oh, the other place. The other place.
Yeah. The other regular place.
Well, it's a special day for me on Sunday.
Oh, it is. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Sunday lunch.
Yes, okay. All right. Well, I'll talk more about that later, and I will see you all. I'm going to drop out.
See you later.
Welcome home. To the pasta.
So the revolutionary is only recently back from abroad, but he brought the broad home. But yeah, honeymoon. So congratulations to the revolutionary. Very exciting. Well-deserved rest. I'm sure sleep was not number one priority while traveling.
No. I think if sleep is your number one priority on a honeymoon, you're doing it wrong.
Might be. So, yeah. So, as the revolutionary mentioned, Ron DeSantis is the worst kind of person on every level. And it's more than just putting fingers, as funny as that is. I believe
so,
in the last 7 days, he unseated the attorney general for
the district attorney.
The district attorney, the duly elected by the people of Orange County
A vast majority of the people, 60-some%.
Right. So he decided as governor that it was his right and privilege to unseat her. For being, quote, too soft on crime. Right.
Can I ask a question? What was she elected on?
I'm not sure.
He was elected because she was going to be progressive on crime.
Yeah, right.
She's doing what people asked her to do.
I couldn't think of a better recommendation, to be honest with you, than to be fired by Ron DeSantis for being soft on crime.
Yeah, and she's a woman, and she is non-white, and liberal, and therefore a target for an authoritarian, demonstrating his authoritarian practice. Yep.
And she was almost immediately replaced by an underqualified white dude.
I think it's the guy who lost the election.
Shocked.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, or he lost an election for that seat earlier. I don't know if it was against her he lost or whether he was the candidate who lost, like, in a primary or some other thing.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Can we recall that person? If he's just appointed over the will of the voters?
Yeah. So we're talking about the Orange Osceola State Attorney Monique Worrell. Worrell? I don't know. Worrell. Okay. So yeah, she has been removed from office, and who replaced her?
Almost the Sentinel has a paywall.
I'm going to assume some douche nozzle.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely a douche nozzle.
No, this is not. Google's failing me at the moment. I'm sorry, but it's quite. Oh wait, maybe I have it on Reddit. Hang on. It's quite bad. It's a mess, and it's a thing that shouldn't I don't know enough about the infrastructure of the law to say one way or the other about what the limitations of power should or should not be. But this seems very wrong, patently corrupt, and it's more than frustrating. It's infuriating that our governor is actively rewriting the structure of power selected by the people. We keep disregarding
the will of the people.
Yeah, right. We keep beating the drum of fascism. It gets old, but it's true, right? Like, this is how it happens. You have a legislature that doesn't hold the executive branch accountable, and then the executive branch does what it wants with everyone else. It's crazy. Let's see here. We've also got Matt Gaetz in the news again. For multiple reasons. He's got a new bill. He's got a fun new thing about degenerates.
He's outlawing himself?
Andrew Bain is the replacement.
One more time?
Andrew Bain.
Okay.
I'm surprised they didn't replace him with Andrew Tate.
Oh, man. Who is Andrew Bain? Okay, Fox, what do you got for me?
Yeah, we'll find out.
According to Fox, he's probably an angel sent from heaven to avenge something or other.
So Bain was a Ninth Judicial Circuit judge. No, I'm sorry. He worked in the Ninth Judicial Circuit. He was a judge. I'm sorry. Yeah, he was appointed. That's what it was. DeSantis appointed him as judge in 2020 to fill the vacancy of a person who retired. Yeah. Oh, we played for Miami.
2006.
So there's not a lot about him other than the fact that he is a conservative. He's a politically conservative person appointed to a judge chair by the governor, and now he is the DA for Orlando Osceola County against the will of the people. It's not good. It's very not good.
It makes you wonder if anybody who gets convicted under him now has a recourse for appeal that is not a duly elected and removed for political reasons, right?
It's a fascinating argument. I mean, again, this was done by the president by the governor as an executive order, and I question how legal that is. You know, right. Like. I'm sure
the Constitution gives them the right to do it. It doesn't really prescribe the limitations on what it involves, right?
There has to be a justification. There has to be...
Under what circumstances is it okay?
Right,
The other guy from Tampa who signed on the letter saying prosecute abortions and got suspended the same way won his appeal with the courts in Florida.
Oh,
the court says... We can't reinstate you. We don't have a remedy. So, yeah, you were fired incorrectly, but can't do anything about it. But I imagine people now prosecuted in that by the new DA can say this guy is not legit because he was fired and throw his case out. That would be the way to solve the problem.
According to Kevin in Missouri, they did a similar thing. I'm going to see if he can give us a...
I mean, it's there in case somebody is being egregious, right? But there's no real... It assumes that the person in power is a responsible adult, and we don't have that with
I was going to say, this. It makes sense. It makes sense as a way to keep the local DAs in balance, right? Like, if they're getting... Like you say, if they're overstepping their job, if they're executing the law in an inappropriate manner... There needs to be a way to step in and stop that. But it's wild that it can be done with a stroke of a pen by one person. That doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, with no chance to appeal or review.
No oversight, no remedy.
Time where you get this back. Yeah, no, that clearly needs to change.
Yep.
But it's not going to help. It's not going to, as bad as that is, it's not going to help his campaign at all. Yep. I don't know why he did that, just to be a pain in the ass. He has now rebooted his campaign, I think, 3 times in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's every time they get a new budget proposal.
And in the industry I work in, there's a condition that happens, and this is what's happening to his campaign. It's called crash loop back off. His campaign is stuck in crash loop back off. That's where it tries to start up, and it gets an error, and it crashes, and now it tries to start up again. It gets narrow. I start up again. It's called Crash Loop Backup.
Yeah.
So
I hear. I thought it was an ID10 error.
ID10T. Yeah.
But that often causes crash loop backoffs. as opposed to a DDT error. That's defendant Donald Trump error.
News on that as well, because that won't stop giving us more news. It is it is the circus we wanted. Just 5 years too late. 7 years too late, really. All of this should have been happening during the first impeachment, frankly. But
yes. I'm actually
but do you have any bread?
What's that?
Artist?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any bread to go with your circuses?
Oh.
I brought that up because there's actually more to talk about Ronda Putin.
We will definitely get to the 45 stuff for sure. What was the next thing about DeSantis you wanted to bring up? Because
they had this meeting in Florida in Dade County schools where people got to voice their problem with the new Black history curriculum.
Oh, that's right.
Black people were treated well by white people or whatever, whatever the thing says. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the guy who was behind the whole thing in the whatever the board is that does school stuff said he was going to show and then didn't. So they can't even stand up and defend their position to people because they know it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it just shows the cowardness of that whole administration. We're going to screw you over. And we're not even going to stand around and let you yell at us
about it. It's so much worse than that, though, because the new... it looks like your t-shirt is saying, "Have no FAP," and that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Have no FAP, the Canadian is
anyway.
Better not be fapping on this show.
Oh, damn it. I'm doing it wrong, I guess.
Yeah, my background noise filter is really good. Anyway.
Enter the sound the thespian hates.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
Oh, no. Zoom doesn't like that. Zoom has muted it for us. Thank you. Anyway, so the new education guidelines are truly bizarre. Like, beyond the pale, they are truly insane. The latest is PragerU has been tapped as an officially acceptable source of information. Yeah. And PragerU famously described, what was it? Frederick Douglass,
yeah.
as a radical abolitionist.
Yeah.
And they recently used AI to animate a video of his face calling slavery a compromise.
Oh no, it was just animated. Badly animated, also, badly voiced over.
He also denigrated Black Lives Matter.
Of course he did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, no. So I call it PragerU.
it's
because they're trying to teach people to be pregnant.
Well, PragerU is what's the Turning Point America is the other one. Those go hand in hand, like PragerU and Charlie Kirk and all of them. It's truly vile. If you want to understand why Andrew Tate is in any way marginally successful as a human being on this planet, financially speaking, it's because of PragerU. It's because of these bizarre pseudo-educational right-wing think tank institutions. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird thing. But it is basically
an instruction manual on how to make bad faith arguments.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Every single one seems reasonable as they put the pieces together in the line, but it's not how things are.
It's a stack of dominoes. If you knock one over, the whole thing falls apart. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why they talk really fast and hope you don't notice.
Yep.
And they're short. And the videos are short.
Yeah.
And there's no...
I thought you were talking about Ben Shapiro.
Well,
And there's no business for that to be in our schools. And it's put in there as a hedge against all the woke left-wing stuff that's in the school. And it's like, you mean thinking and knowledge?
Yes. Your critical thinking, logical thought process, asking questions, determining valuable sources. It's bizarre to me that at this point they can make any claim towards, you know, air quotes, wokeness being a problem in schools when it's illegal to even question certain aspects of our governmental policy. Literally, you will lose your job for asking a question in a classroom of high school seniors, legal adults, posing a question. You can lose your job. It is really incredibly frustrating. And this is the conservative playbook. They've known this for decades, that if they control the narrative in the schools, and it started with the whole teachers are liberals, if you can't do teach, make sure they're underpaid, don't give them benefits, no classroom resources. All of this was meant to chase away people who wanted to do teaching, to make sure that the people who were doing the teaching were the people that the conservatives wanted.
Right. And but also the people who were doing the teaching were now doing the teaching because they couldn't find something else to do. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and I ran across this when my kids were in high school.
Yeah.
The math teacher would be somebody, I was looking for a job and I gotta have a job. And they'd teach for a year and they'd get another job and boom, they'd be gone. And just constant turnover.
I was taught calculus by a person with a degree in curriculum who was the basketball teacher.
Yeah.
That went really well.
Yeah, my high school calculus was taught by the football coach. Same result.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, my dad is a professor of mathematics, and he had some thoughts about.
Sure.
So it was kind of interesting, but they're driving away teachers, and we have a teacher shortage in Osceola and Orange. What's the other, and maybe I don't know whatever that Seminole. That district of Central Florida counties, or maybe it might be all of Florida, that's 5,400 teacher shortage that they can't find.
Right.
Nobody wants to work here because why risk going to jail?
What, look, when all the travel guides for any sort of marginalized community says, hey, Florida's danger. And when I say marginalized communities, I mean women. I mean people of color, and I mean the queer community. All three of them are being told, don't go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Our entire state survives on tourism.
Right.
And our governor has destroyed the reputation of the state as a fun place to visit.
And people are not coming to do conventions at the convention center.
No.
Big driver, they're canceling and going somewhere else.
One of the biggest annual video game charity events, Games Done Quick, which is it's a speed running marathon. It's,
if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's fabulous.
It's crazy.
Even if you don't like video games, it's fabulous.
I don't like watching people play games on stream. This is super fun. It's really impressive. The commentary is neat. The games they're playing, what they do with them, super fun. And it raises millions of dollars for charity efforts. And they had booked a convention, I want to say, for 2020 or 2021 in Orlando. And despite the massive cost of the organization, they said, we cannot go to Orlando. We won't do it.
2020.
It was 2 years ago? It was 1 year. I forget which year specifically, but it was recent. And and these things are booked years in advance, right? So that was the cycle, the rotation. They were taking it to Orlando. And because of everything that was happening with Ron DeSantis and the state politics, they were like, no, we're not going. We won't, you know, we won't give our time and our effort and our money into a state that's this corrupt and this evil. And and it cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars because they had to pay for the reservations and the cancellations of the events and all that stuff. But they would rather have done that and do the whole thing virtually than go to Orlando and give the state of Florida money. That's how bad it is. And this is a cancer research charity. Like, come on.
Artist is, we can't hear you. You made a really funny joke, but we couldn't hear. Yeah.
Windows hates sound.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's just a bunch of Windows hate.
Yeah, nobody upgraded to Windows 11.
Windows 11 works great for me.
Oh, yeah? I've not. Windows tells me my computer can't do it.
Yeah,
that's testing.
There you go. Yeah, testicles.
Okay. So I wouldn't say that's super, you know, frustrating because Orlando hates DeSantis.
Yes.
And so, like, Orlando, you know, is basically being punished for the actions of somebody they can't stand.
And you know what? That means that we're not doing enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm okay with it because, and again, like I said a couple weeks ago, you know, Lewis Hamilton, international Formula One driver coming to Florida and saying we're just as bad as the Saudi states when it comes to queer rights. We are, the state of Florida is on the international spotlight for being a flaming pile of shit. That is what we are because of Ron DeSantis. Much in the same way that under the presidency of Donald Trump, America became a clown villain. Like, and not in a cool way. We weren't the clown prince of crime. We were like killer clowns from outer space villain. Like, we were just stupid.
That does a disservice to the killer clowns from outer space.
That's fair, but in comparison to them to the Joker, you know, like I feel it's a good analogy. It's beyond frustrating, especially considering how many people in this state know that the leadership is corrupt, know that the leadership does not represent the will of the majority of the people in this state, and know that there is no way to fix it because our state is so damn corrupt.
And it should be an example of minority rule. Right? Now, I know people will say, Florida, there's a bunch of, we have a supermajority in the, but it's all gerrymandered.
Yep.
For hundreds of years to keep black people from having any voice.
Yep.
And really minority rule in our government. And this is what happens. Minority rule. Now you got a guy who has no ethics or soul. Right. He's willing to make everybody miserable to get his way.
Just no accountability. When you know that you don't have to answer to the majority, to the voice of the people, you don't have any accountability for your actions anymore. And it's a disaster from there. Speaking of which, Kevin got back to us with what's going on in Missouri. Apparently, Kim Gardner, the St. Louis prosecutor, was basically pressured to resign as her only remaining form of protest to the pressure from the legislature and state. The governor, let's see here. I'm going to read from St. Louis Today. Quote, in a letter addressed to the governor, Gardner made no mention of the turmoil in her office nor to the extensive staff departures in recent weeks. Instead, she said she was stepping down effective June 1 to prevent the state legislature from passing a bill that would strip her of most of her power and permanently remove the right of every St. Louis voter to elect their circuit attorney. So this is, you know, like we were saying, this is the Republican playbook. This is the conservative playbook. It's not just in Florida. It's what they want to do. You take away... Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's what they tried to do that in Houston, and they did, and then it got appealed and lost. And so all of these rules will eventually get overturned by the courts because they are violating your rights as a voter.
Yep.
Right. You can't single out and say, "Hey, you guy, you can't vote for a Democrat." Right. You can't do that. And you can't say you city. You're the only city that can't vote for its own representation.
Yep.
None of that stuff flies, but it can get through a legislature and cause chaos and then cause taxpayer-funded defense of the bills that raises everybody's taxes and spends money, and they're all eventually going to get overturned.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a bit of a slippery slope argument, but all of this is utterly terrifying because what it does is it enables a permanent seat of power in a government. That is allegedly a democratic government, right? Like when you start telling the voters, hey, we changed the rules because we don't want your vote to matter anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you don't live in a democracy. That's not how a democracy functions. So at this point, and this is where, the three facets of government is a good thing. That balance is a good thing, except... When you spend 100 years developing a new approach to how the structure of government works, where all three levels of the government are equally corrupt, where the judges won't fight for the law is being actively changed to make sure that the executive isn't held accountable. Yeah. What do you, at that point, what do you do?
Yeah, you've lost. And that's why Florida is not really a democracy anymore.
Not anymore.
No. Yeah. So, and the U.S. is similarly in peril, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We have the highest court in the land that is questionably compromised.
Oh, more than questionably.
Well, I say questionably. There are certainly people in it who are compromised. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. question is, were there enough compromise to make it different on ruling, right?
We know it's 2 of 9, and that's enough to change decisions.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you consider how many 5-4 decisions the court has seen in the last decade, two of those is enough to change that decision.
Yeah, like Citizens United was probably one of those that might have changed.
Yep.
Somebody bought somebody that happened, right? Yep.
God, if we can get that overturned.
So at some point, we have to recognize that we have lost control mm-hmm. of that aspect of. Now, lower court judges are held to a standard. Mm-hmm. They can be removed if they don't follow that standard.
Right.
And some justices need to agree to that as well.
It's one of the. I hate how we have to keep coming back to this fatalist approach. The only way to fix it is for the boomers to die. Like, truly, I hate that that's the way we have to look at it, but all of the corruption in government, all of the problems we're having right now are the direct result of 5 decades of boomer leadership in our government. Right. And you know, Clarence Thomas and it's the head judge. What's his name?
Roberts.
Thank you. Clarence Thomas is by far the most corrupt person to hold that high of a level of office outside of maybe Donald J. Trump. Politico came out with a new report on more of his fun stuff that he's been doing as a Supreme Court justice.
Not declaring. That's the thing. It's right. Clearly done under the table, and that he's not saying that somebody gave him a loan so he could buy an RV. Is he paying the loan back? No, probably not.
But it's not even that. So Politico released an article. I want to say earlier this year. I don't think it was last year. I think it was this year. Saying, you know, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, appointed for life in the 90s, is in the pocket of a billionaire. You know, like he's been given millions of dollars worth of free stuff in exchange for bending an ear. But it turns out it's much worse than that, because there are other billionaires and millionaires involved in this process. And apparently what Judge Clarence Thomas has been doing is arranging meetings and conferences between these people with money and those who can affect policy in the United States.
Right.
For decades. Through 30 years he's been in office. I guarantee he's been doing it since day two. Guarantee it. And Politico finally got some receipts for some of the stuff that's been happening. It's blood curdling. It's chilling.
It's the destruction of our democracy.
Yep.
And the right wing radicals are like, oh yeah, well what about if you know Sotomayor had done this? Would you be screaming? And the Democrats are like, yes.
What if yes.
her too? It's like, why don't you investigate her? Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sure they are. They found this lead, and they got money to go investigate Clarence Thomas with that lead, and they ran with it.
Yeah.
And why don't you go investigate these other people? Why don't you give money to that group to go investigate and see what happens?
And
I guarantee you people have investigated them. It's not like nobody looked at their finances.
Investigative journalism still exists, usually with an axe to grind, but it still exists. If Fox News found anything on Sotomayor or any of the other liberal, air quotes, liberal judges, I guarantee they would have nuked the moon in stenciling to tell you about it, right? Like, we would have heard about it if there was anything going on like Clarence Thomas has been doing with any of the other judges. Guaranteed.
And other people do stuff that might have the appearance of conflict, mm-hmm. but they also do two other things that Clarence Thomas does not do. One, they disclose it.
Right, right.
They will recuse them.
Yep.
Recuse themselves if that comes before the court.
Yep. And like you were saying, that's the real issue here is he is not declaring the gifts he's receiving. Right. If you want to take gifts, if you want to take, you know, baseball tickets or whatever, like a free travel on a boat, just declare it.
Yeah. It's not illegal to accept gifts from friends, but you should report them.
Right.
If they're that much money.
But it's not even a should. There is literally a written description of the threshold at which it needs to be reported. And by the way, every other judge, circuit judges, federally appointed judges, other Supreme Court justices, they all do it. Clarence Thomas is aware of the threshold. He's aware of the expectation, and he doesn't care.
Yeah, he had to do it before when he was not a Supreme Court judge. Yep. He knows what's up.
Yep.
And the fact that he said, "Well, somebody once told me it was a suggestion," is not a no. You know what the rule is. You're not stupid.
Fun fact: our former president is being impeached because of that. Not impeached, prosecuted because of that. He was impeached for it, and it didn't stick. But yeah, it. Lots of doom and gloom. Don't like that. But so, it is scary though. We are on the precipice looking at the mechanisms. We are seeing the sausage be made, and it is ugly.
Yeah, and we need to do something. People are give money to the Democracy Docket and all those places that are fighting.
Yep. And again, the biggest one, don't let people just make, you know, like we were talking about bad faith arguments, artists. You mentioned bad faith arguments university. An acquaintance of mine I was talking to this past weekend was doing that, right? Literally just that. It was statement, 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 rhetorical question, statement, 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 statement. Don't you think? Statement, statement, statement. And I'm like, okay, whoa, hey, whoa. You're making massive leaps of logic. You're making horrible arguments, and what you're doing is called a gish gallop. You're presenting so many arguments that I can't possibly respond to them. And then you're not even giving me the opportunity to actually respond. So I'm out. I'm done. I'm just telling you right now that what you're doing is not giving any space for an alternative viewpoint.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? The whole idea is not discussion, not debate, not understanding the alternative perspective. It's, well, here's what it is. You're wrong if you disagree.
And that's a choice people have made.
It is. It is.
And it's a choice that they're going to defend their own ego over what might be the truth, because the truth is frightening to them.
Yep.
And that's a choice those people have made, and it's very hard to convince them to look otherwise, because they're just not interested in shaking their world view.
Now, I was going to say, as far as PragerU material being taught in schools or being used as a resource in schools, a clever teacher could use it as an instructional on how to spot bad faith arguments as part of a critical thinking class.
True.
But there has not been a critical thinking class, to my knowledge, in quite some time.
You say that, but I could make a history class a critical thinking class. It wouldn't be.
You can make a debate class a critical thinking class.
English. You could make English a study of literature and impact on society and critical thinking. It's not hard to do. But the problem is the people who are that smart and that dedicated to their job aren't in Florida.
No. They won't come here and out of Florida.
And Florida will throw them in jail for it.
Yep. Yeah, some Karen who doesn't even have a child in the district will write a letter and the person will be jailed for it. Artists, you are correct. It is possible. There are people capable of doing the thing. They're smart enough to not be in the state of Florida.
That is fair.
So there's we were talking about people who make bad faith arguments and who are anti-American in their approach to things.
Yep.
And I would like to bring up the formerly disgraced, now not being prosecuted, congressman from North Florida, Matt Gaetz. He has proposed a plan to get DDT, who I'm going to call him DDT, defendant Donald Trump, off the hook. Because he's
toxic, Agent like, Orange.
Agent Orange, he's DDT. And he wants to get Speaker McCarthy to put together a special committee stacked with Republicans.
Okay.
Like the Democrats did it. And then call DDT as a witness and give him unconditional immunity. And then
what?
He will
what
immunity for all his crimes.
So oh, he can
Hunter Biden, who cares what investigating whether he lied in January, their own January 6th commission, essentially.
Okay.
And bring Donald Trump up in front of the committee and ask him a few questions, but give him complete immunity to his responses, which if they get 2/3 of the majority on the committee, now is unconditional immunity. And presumably the DOJ can't prosecute him for that. Now,
that's definitely not true.
It is definitely not true, but that's his idea. It has a bunch of flaws. First of all, it's unconditional immunity for his testimony.
Right, not for the actions. Yeah, so now you've got him on record admitting to what he did. So good job there.
Secondly, he is under oath, or that immunity is not valid. He has to answer the questions fully.
So he could perjure himself.
And he has to answer the questions fully, and he has to answer them truthfully, which means if there's any Democrat on that committee, he is going to lie.
Yeah,
and therefore his immunity is done. So anyway, it's just this harebrained thing that the right. I found this on that site I mentioned last week, where nobody on the left is covering this. I'm like reading it and saying, this isn't going to get him off the hook. He's not immune for his crimes. It's not a pardon. It's immune for his testimony being used against him for saying he did crimes.
Nobody's on the left for covering it.
Already charged with those crimes.
Nobody on the left was covering it because it's stupid.
It's stupid.
It's very stupid.
But what it shows is the length to which these people will go to try to
put
DDT's dick in their mouth, right? I mean, that's...
They've hitched their wagon to his ass, and it's bad. It's.
I think they've hitched their ass to his wagon, if you know what I mean.
Ayo, it's really insane on many levels.
Everybody knows they want a taste of the mushroom.
Unfortunately, it's a morale.
Oh boy. So speaking of Matt Gaetz, there's another fun one. He has introduced a prayer in school bill, which will basically require all teachers to give all classrooms a moment for prayer. And in the process of introducing the National Prayer in School Act, this is according to LGBTQ Nation. The bill will protect the right to pray in schools and stop, quote, degenerate LGBT propaganda.
Wow.
So I'm kind of for that prayer in school, especially in Florida, where kids are going to have to pray that they get an education, they learn something that day. I pray I get a teacher, you know, that kind of thing. No, that's
great. I don't get
shot. Here's the quote from Gaetz in discussing this announcement. Quote, God's reach does not stop at the schoolhouse gates. Our country's education policy forbids students and faculty from praying while endlessly promoting degenerate LGBT and anti-white propaganda.
So does he understand that prayer isn't Christian prayer?
No. No, this is a white Christian nation, sir.
There will be a bunch of people probably, I mean, I'm going to be judgmental, but probably drama students and music students that are going to claim that they're spaghetti, flying spaghetti monster.
Flying spaghetti believers. Monster, let's go.
They've got to jump up and down, and that's their prayer, right? Yeah. No, that's not going to fly.
No.
The yes. Satanists? Oh, sorry, we're praying, I got to get a rat, and I got to sacrifice it, right? It's, I mean,
it's so stupid.
Satanists don't do that.
It's I know, so dumb.
They don't know that they're Christians. They have no idea what Satanists do.
That reminds me of one of my favorite little back and forths between Satanists and Christians. Satanists pray to the devil for this, that, and the other. Satanists don't believe in the devil. Well, if you don't believe in the devil, who does? Christians.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the text for this bill. According to that same article, the bill itself does not specify actual time for prayer in the classroom. So it's a nonsense bill that's not meant to do anything, but meant to for him to parade around like he's doing something cool.
Right.
What gets me is the absolute audacity of Matt Gaetz calling anyone else degenerate.
Yeah. I personally enjoyed the bit where God's reach doesn't stop at the school gates. It's like, well, your reach does.
That's exactly what's in my mind when I hear that. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's pissed about his reach does, yeah. No, yeah. And the fact that he is not a godful man by any stretch of imagination. No. What's he doing?
We know that from that picture of him and his wife. He's three knuckles deep in public.
Yeah, and she is clearly enjoying it.
Or she feels trapped.
Stuck on your side, yeah. No, she feels raped at that point.
Yeah.
She's sexually assaulted.
What the hell? Yeah. This bill is crazy.
Of course it is. Matt Gaetz wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it and introduced it to committee. There's nothing else. There's nothing else about it. Okay, this is nothing. This is dumb. Matt Gaetz, you're a waste of everyone's time, and you're stupid. So that's that. more importantly, the Republicans just keep saying the quiet part way out loud for everyone to really know how they feel about things. So that's all right.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. Matt Gaetz is terrible.
In other news, Matt Gaetz is stupid. Film at 11.
Yeah. Sky blue, water wet, news at 11. So here's another fun one. We talked about Hunter Biden. We talked about... No, we didn't. We haven't talked about that. We talked about that before the show. Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden, laptop.
The laptop. So, the Republicans have been trying to pin anything that would stick to Hunter Biden for the last 5 years, and they've failed. Was it last month, Canadian, with the plea deal, or was that earlier this month? No, that was last month. It was July.
It was last month where it fell apart.
In July, there was a presumption of a plea deal between Hunter Biden and the prosecutors for him to basically... you know, plead no contest / guilty to tax evasion and something else. Owning a gun under the influence of a drug, I think.
Clicking the text box saying that he didn't, wasn't a drug user when he was.
Right.
Lying on a federal.
Something stupid. The judge killed the plea deal before it was able to go onto the record, which is a very weird thing. Nobody really knew what to make of it. Turns out, Canadian, you know the story better than I do. What was the circumstance there?
So there was wording in the plea deal that nobody knew what it meant, or let's say the different sides had different interpretations on what it meant, and there were things in the plea deal where Hunter Biden was going to admit to some things, but not be charged with them, right, and not be cleared of them either. And she was like, what is this? What is this? I forget what the preamble is where they talk about what the plea deal is doing for you.
Okay.
And she's like, what is this? And it kind of turns out from the analysis that the FBI basically has no clean data on Hunter Biden. Everything is tainted, whether it's because of investigational misconduct or like the laptop, there's no control on it, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they were going to get him to plea to a couple of things, But in the process of pleading it, he would have kind of admitted some other stuff that they could then later charge him with. It would clean up some of that tainted data.
It would have been like a Fifth Amendment violation almost.
Almost. I'm not a lawyer. It's more technical than that. But it's like by doing these things, he sort of validated that their data isn't tainted. Mm-hmm. Whereas now there's a question about how they got it and whether it's valid. These people lied. And by doing that, then they could charge him with FOIA violations.
So what's fascinating about that is of everyone involved, the judge was the one that was like, no, we're not doing this. So Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, appointed by President Joe Biden, has appointed a special prosecutor, special counsel.
I forget. There are two different things. I forget which one.
I think it's a special counsel.
It's whatever Jack Smith is.
Yes. So the same person who's been investigating and prosecuting the investigation is now the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland to take this investigation to a more formal state. Basically everything that they have will be processed through a grand jury at some point, and the grand jury will make a decision. But my initial reaction to this is, oh, well, the Republicans must be just collectively jerking off about this right now, because they've wanted this forever. This is exactly what they want. They want corruption in the Biden family to be the thing, because apparently if you're a Republican, when you vote a president, you vote the whole family into the office.
Yeah.
Like with Trump. Of course. You know, and Jared Kushner and taking his $2 billion investment.
Ivanka are under such scrutiny.
Indeed. So they're thinking, if we do this, then clearly everyone else must be like we are, because it's the only way the world works. So if Hunter Biden is evil, everyone's evil in the Biden family, and the Biden presidency has been invalid, and we can just hit Control-Z on the last 4 years. So that was my thought. but Canadian, you had a different take on it.
Yeah, my take was they're not going to like it. Because now all of the witnesses that they would call are now going to be part of a Justice Department ongoing investigation, and they're not going to be able to talk about anything. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of going to shut down their investigations, except for crazy people who have no value to the Justice Department investigation.
Right. So we won't get any news about it. We won't get any reports about it. Everything's just going to slow way the hell down, and it's going to get real boring.
witness is going to say, I can't talk because I'm being interviewed by a Justice Department. I can't spill the beans on what they know.
Yep.
I can't. And the best talk part about the best part about that is that the FBI, like the Justice Department, will be able to say, no, you are full of shit, and now you're going to jail for lying under oath.
We can only hope. I at this point, I'm honestly interested in what's going to happen, because again, if a person has done an illegal thing, they deserve to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, regardless of who they are. If President Joe Biden broke the law, he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. If his son did so, he must also face those consequences. We are not a cult. We don't care about who's in office in terms of worshiping them, buying their merchandise, flying their flags, being obnoxious at state fairs. We don't care about any of that. What we care about is effective legislation that enacts the will of the people. And it's simple as that.
That's it.
I'm looking forward to where this goes, because it can't be anything but a shit show. What do you think the over under is on him just saying never mind? It's been 5 years.
He's got a name to go with this, and he has screwed it up. So he will do the Durham.
Okay.
We'll get it in front of a grand jury and review, you know, try to pierce attorney-client privilege and try to interview the president and staffers and get nowhere, and eventually probably bring tax evasion charges against Hunter Biden, like the plea deal.
Right. So 18 maybe months?
Maybe lose. 18 months. Yeah. Well, maybe... maybe 12 months, because that would put it right in election time.
That, oh, it could be the October surprise, breaking Hunter Biden commit, you know,
indicted for tax fraud, and you know, but yeah, we already knew that.
Yeah, right.
Guilty to it.
Nobody cares.
but then they have to prove it. And if really their data is as bad as people think, then it'll get thrown out. I mean, I guarantee you, Hunter Biden will have a good lawyer.
You would say that, but his lawyer was ready to do this plea deal that clearly wasn't good. So,
yeah.
Maybe Biden will have a better lawyer. It was good,
but I think the judge, like,
in talking to both sides, was able to, like, figure it out.
Yeah. Hmm. So when she didn't put a gamash on it. What she said is, you guys need to go clarify these things.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't do it the way it stands today. Yeah.
You gotta fix this stuff. And then they didn't fix it. And so it was like, no deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, craziness. Yeah. Truly crazy. Yeah. So
that's Hunter Biden.
My favorite thing I think about it is like, okay, Hunter Biden's in the news for no news.
Well, it's like, okay, how many non-political figures have ever had special counsel? And I think the answer is zero. I think this
is pretty sure it's zero. Yeah,
they have a point, because the special counsel is there to take partisanship out of an investigation, right? I'm the president. You can't investigate. Well, no, we appoint a special counsel. He can do whatever he wants. It's to investigate this. Mm-hmm. He's Justice Department doesn't get to tell him what to do.
Right.
And so you get this independence from it, mm-hmm. which you need in a political environment. But this is just a private citizen. So the political thing is, it's his son. I mean, what if it was his grandchild? What if it was his third cousin twice removed? I mean, eventually there's enough people related to Joe Biden that you're going to have thousands of people who would need a special counsel.
He's Catholic, so that's, absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean, all that said, let's look at Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of former President Trump, who was the direct liaison to the Saudi states for the president. And was also tasked with fixing the Middle East and a number of other impossible things.
Like reading 25 whole books.
He accepted a $2 billion investment from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Jared Kushner. Yeah. The son of the sitting president took $2 billion from a foreign state.
He makes $100 million a year to manage.
Right. We're going on about Hunter Biden getting laid, and we're showing the pictures of that in Congress, but we're not talking about the $2 billion.
It's the hypocrisy. They don't care about Hunter Biden. They're just trying to score points against Joe Biden, President Joe Biden. Now, one of I lost my train of thought. Anyway, it'll come back to me, because I was like chomping on the bit to do it, and then I lost it.
Oh, man. Is it the comparison?
Yeah. I remember now. There was a long Twitter discussion and a beautiful self-own.
Oh, no. About
Hunter Biden and Jared Kushner, and some conservative guy trying to say, no, Hunter Biden's guilty of real world bad crimes, not. And it comes down to this phrase where he says, here's the difference. Hunter Biden sold access.
What?
Kushner was the access. like that makes it better.
Oh, no. I don't think you're making the point you think you're making.
Exactly. A beautiful self-owned. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Being the access is way worse than trying to sell it.
That's that's amazing. That's so good.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Yeah. You keep saying this. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So This Jared Kushner thing, again, it's shocking how little coverage there is of this. Because, like, we kind of knew about it when it was happening during the 45th presidency, and then, like, more clarification came out about it after the fact, and that's how we know his management fees and all of that, but...
There's clearly corruption, but it's clear. There's no obvious exchange going on. He has an investment company, and they put money in it, and it makes money for them.
Yep.
It's paid. It's an investment company, and he gets paid that much, and they just put money.
The annual management fee is $25 million, not $100 million. And the investment came 6 months after the president left office, so technically he wasn't president at the time. But you cannot tell me with a straight face that these discussions weren't happening during the presidency.
Yeah,
the discussions went something like, if you can make the president do this, 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 and that, and get these policies enacted, you will get a $2 billion investment out of this.
Didn't just decide in June of 2020 that, 2021, let's give Jared Kushner $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a fund. Let's do it. No, they're transactional. There are transactions involved.
I'm sure that his father-in-law doesn't still have tons of classified information lying around.
Sort of one of the things that is implied is that they sold classified documents, and they put the Khashoggi investigation. They put a kibosh on it. Right?
So I want to read to you these sentences from the New York Post story on the Kushner thing. Quote: Kushner's firm Affinity Partners made the deal despite a Saudi public investment fund review panel and their concerns about the inexperience and a due diligence review that was unsatisfactory in all aspects, according to a meeting minutes reported by the New York Times. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman overruled the fund's review panel.
That's
all you need to know. That's all you need to know.
The fund said, no, this is a high-risk venture.
This is a bad idea.
And said, nope, I owe this guy. We're going to do it. And I bet you that deal was inked a year before it actually executed.
It's so frustrating that if you bring up this to a person who mentions to you, well, Hunter Biden's laptop, but it's just good business.
Yeah,
that's just smart.
He's a businessman doing
business in China is just against America,
right? Yeah, is this a capitalist hellscape or not? What is it? What is going on here? If we are a capitalist hellscape, which we are, you just cash in. If you got a, if you share a name with a dude with a bunch of influence and you can make money on it, do it. Because if you don't, you're an idiot.
But
at the same time, the people who claim that the point I just made is a great way to think about the world then try to take the moral high road and say, well, no, you can't do that if you're the son of the president or the vice president or whatever.
Hear yourself.
I am so jealous of the reality they live in, because it must be really pleasant.
No, it's not. That's the problem. They live in constant fear. They are addicted to the Fox and Breitbart and Newsmax fear porn.
Yeah, fear porn,
That the black people are coming for them, lock your doors, gay, they're going to turn your fish gay.
It's Helter Skelter all over again.
Yeah, they are brainwashed into being afraid of everything. And if you ask any of those people, they will tell you Democrats are pedophiles and want to rape your children. That's their answer.
And the safest place for them is their church.
The Catholic Church,
Well, the safest place, if you ask Lauren Boebert and her followers, the safest place for all Democrats is the grave, apparently.
Right. No, but that's the rhetoric they use. Ron DeSantis is going to start slitting throats, right? I mean, it's fear, demagoguery, fear and murder porn.
It's funny you say that. Like, we know for a fact medically demonstrated, studied, statistically valid fact that gender-affirming care for children saves lives. We know this. It has been demonstrated. It is known. And we also know that when you remove the access to gender-affirming care, you are actively actively increasing the potential suicide rate of teenagers and children.
Well, and stopping it midstream is actively harming children.
Correct. Yes, you are stopping a thing that is good for them in the middle of it, which I could not think of a worse thing to do to a child. So when the Republicans look to the queer community and call them groomers or pedophiles or whatever, and then they turn around and they enact policy that is actively killing children, the hypocrisy is beyond words. I don't have an adequate metaphor for the horror of that comparison. It is
at least not something that wouldn't get you a strike.
Well, here let's compare to, I don't know, the new latest thing with the AR-15 for your toddler.
What?
You haven't seen that?
I mean, it's not surprising.
Baby's first assault rifle.
Uh-huh.
Is it like Fisher Price or?
Hang on,
JR-15.
Oh no,
JR-15. That sounds like something right up Matt Gaetz's alley. Size
rifle with cartoon skulls.
The Wii One tactical JR-15.
Yeah, deadly weapons for children.
Does it shoot a 223?
No, it shoots a 22.
Oh well. Newsflash: this gun already existed. That's stupid.
No, it doesn't exist as a marketed item. It existed as a 22 rifle. This is a gun. It's like marketing cigarettes to kids.
The Juuls, right? It's the Juul problem again, or the Four Loko problem. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's only got 2% alcohol. Let's market it to kids.
Hey, in Russia, that's soda.
Jim Beam, it's Jim Jr., and we market it to kids. Make yourself a mojito or a.
Oh, my God.
Have a slam a drink when your dad does. I mean,
they need to make sure I'm.
It's not called a mojito. Are you ready for this? Buzz Buzz.
I looked up the name of the product. I went to their website. The first thing that happens on the front page of their website: please confirm you're at least 18 to view the web page.
Yeah. No toddlers are looking for it themselves.
Get fucked. I hate everything. JR-15 22 long rifle, the platform. It's all plastic. The thing is, Smith & Wesson makes the M&P 1522, which is the same thing. It's an all plastic 22 long rifle AR style platform. I own one. It's fun as hell. But mine wasn't marketed to children.
It's the marketing to children that's the problem.
Yep.
Well,
you say it's plastic.
But given that we've got them, the marketing to children. Let's market cigarettes. You're marketing deadly weapons to children, and that's not going to end well for anybody, including the child that you're marketing to.
Yeah, no kidding.
And probably not the parents or the teachers or the school kids that are with them.
So it's plastic. That means it can get past metal detectors.
So no. It's cheap, is what I'm getting at.
Like the fenders on a Mustang.
So I'm on the website and I'm scrolling down. The Great American Tradition, the platform, the specifications, the manual. Do you own it? Respect it. Secure it. Protect. ProjectChildSafe.org is a banner. On the landing page.
Nice.
It's not a link. It's an image. So they embedded that image into their website. Now I need to find out what that is, because this is... I'm so mad right now. Now I say all of this. As a person who grew up around guns and with guns, I received a shotgun at the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
As a gift. That lived in the gun safe that I did not have access to until I was an adult. Like, my parents very much encouraged the responsible ownership of guns and the enjoyment of them as a sporting tradition, but at the same time they recognized no child has any business handling a lethal weapon.
Right. But now you imagine you live in Florida where there is no, you can carry whatever you want, yep, and you're irresponsible and you say, oh yeah, I'm going to buy my 5-year-old gun because he needs to have one in case his mom needs protection. And you go buy him a JR-15 because it's cool and he's going to be cool showing off to his friends.
I love this not logic picture.
Lock it up gun guy because you keep a pistol in your shower.
Right. Shower you pistol.
It's a disaster waiting to happen. And again, it's the marketing. It's not the gun so much. It's the marketing, yep, of the gun.
Yep. Now, actually, Project Child Safe, pretty cool. Pretty legit. Yeah. They will give you a free gun lock. So that's pretty cool. Which is weird. But, yeah.
We should get one and give it to Lockpicking Lawyer and see how long it takes him to break it.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
I've seen all of his... gun locks are a joke. Like most every other lock. They're just there to stop opportunists from taking advantage. Right. Yeah. Which, I would say... A child is an opportunist. Children. You know, like, yeah, the majority of firearm incidents with children is because a kid had access to a loaded firearm with, right, no supervision.
Right.
So if you remove, and most gun locks, most cable gun locks go through the magazine and the action, so you can't, there's no possibility to load the gun. It will not load, which is a pretty good thing to have. So, weirdly, from this story, here's a well done. I wholly endorse ProjectChildSafe.org.
Yeah.
Go there. They will tell you where you can find local partners, and they will help you with educating yourself and getting the right tools to keep your firearm safe around children. That's dope. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Hey, kid, you want to smoke a Juul and have this gun?
Yeah. How about a 4 Loco?
2023. Well, we'll call
it, it's a 2 Loco.
It's a 2 Loco. It's a 22 Loco. Oh, no.
TMTMTM.
Yeah. Is it a 0.22? It's got to be a 0.22 Loco. Yeah.
0.22,
yeah.
Loco.
Oh my god! That I
felt, and you can shoot bullets coming directly out of the can.
All right. Do we have any well dones for the week?
I do.
Good.
In keeping with the gun safety and children theme, apparently David Hogue is running for office.
Who's nice. That?
One of the Parkland kids.
The Parkland kid, yeah.
Oh shit! Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And like, apparently there is a number of young folk as part of like a group that are all running,
yeah,
like getting like activating, yeah, cool, Gen Z,
yeah,
and they're running, right, for office. I'm like, shit, yes.
Maxwell Frost broke the door open, and they're like, let's go. Yeah.
Possible. I mean,
you only have
we're to going be... to Area 51. We're going to clap some cheeks.
You only got to be 18 to be in the house, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Let's go. I love the young kids in the house. I'm all, yeah,
but
about
you,
it.
But you have to be 21 to do a coke bump, a key bump, though.
Sorry. Who polices that one?
Mitch McConnell
is going to be doing the checks.
I would argue the one in charge of giving key bumps to the youngest people possible would have to be Matt Gaetz. Yeah. Hey, kid, do you like Adderall? Yeah, try this shit. Oh my god. Yeah. So, I know we just talked about it, but I do have to give it, I have to give a well done of the week to projectchildsafe.org. That is a super encouraging, super cool project. I'm all about it. It's got webinars, brochures, documentation, training. It's very cool. It's very cool stuff. I'm all about it. So that I'm probably going to start telling everybody about that one. Anybody with kids or anybody with guns, I'm like, yo, check this shit out. It's great. So that's cool. I'll have a link to that in the show notes for sure.
I would like to give a well done to the Women's World Cup.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Because it is demonstrating parity amongst national teams. So many of the favorites out. Competition is great. I encourage you to watch it, although it's at the wrong hours of the day because it's taking place in Australia and New Zealand. But it's very exciting and it's good stuff. And I think it's good for even though the U.S. were out early and there was a lot of conservative backlash for that bullshit.
Because Megan Rapinoe is too cool for them.
It's good for the sport to have this. It's like parody, and when parody in football became a thing, it was good for American football because people started thinking their team had a chance, and that's good for soccer.
Absolutely. No, it's I managed to catch a couple of matches. I have to say the soccer is so good. The play of the game it's so good. It's so satisfying to watch. Especially when compared to our local team, but we're constantly just like, the guy's on the left, he's open, just kick it to him. What are you doing?
and the refereeing is so much better than our local team.
Yes.
Are
we giving a well done to FIFA?
No.
Okay, good. All
right. Just for the women in the World Cup.
Very good. Yep. All right. I can get along with that.
FIFA still sucks.
Oh, boy. The biggest problem, I think, is the broadcasts begin at, like, 5 in the morning on a Sunday.
Yeah. There are games that start at 9 a.m. In New Zealand, and that's 9 p.m. here, and that's about as late as they run. I think the next one is at 1 a.m., and then 3 a.m., and then 5 a.m.
Yep.
And you're doing a round robin. Now I think they're just 9 and... They're 9 and, and 1.
Mm-hmm. So the good news is the Rugby World Cup begins in a month, September the 8th, I want to say. And that's in France, which means we can watch all the stuff on Sunday mornings, and that'll be nice.
and watch them, because that is...
Rugby's awesome. If
you don't know what the heck the game is, watch it. It is awesome.
As a lifelong born and bred football fan... rugby was easy to understand because it's not it's not nearly as complicated as American football, and it's fast and it's loose and it's simple. It's a cool sport. I highly recommend you watch it. You can get into it in one game and you'll understand what the hell's going on, and the strategy's pretty simple. Out physically, get the dude across from you. Off you go. And the teams are huge. It's like there's different leagues. There's like 11s and there's 7s and there's whatever. But like the World Cup teams are massive. I want to say they're like 18 or something per side. It's crazy.
Yeah, that seems like, I think they're maybe 13. We can look it up.
It's big. It's a big team, but it's a lot of fun. September the 8th, I want to say, is when it starts. It's going to be a good time. The New Zealand All Blacks will be there. If nothing else, watch the New Zealand All Blacks do a haka pre-match. You will be ready to run through a brick wall for them. It is awesome.
Yeah, I remember watching them in the World Cup a while back, and this had this ginormous human that could do like, you know, a 4.4 second 40 or whatever. Yes, you know, 350 pounds, and it's like, yeah, okay, I'm not getting in your way.
Nope. That's you, man. That's all you.
That's you. It's all you. You're in. Oh, I made an attempt. Oh, yep. I failed.
Yep. Yeah. The athleticism, it's so impressive. Rugby's a very cool sport. Cricket sucks. Rugby, cool. Watch rugby. Forget cricket. There's no point.
I love cricket. Really? And here's why.
Okay.
I watch cricket, and the rules are just like, what the fuck?
Nobody understands anything about cricket.
It's British baseball.
But there are these guys, they're called slips, and they stand in kind of this, I don't know, half of a spiral. I don't know what it's called, like a conch shell thing.
Okay.
On the side of the bat, or just in an arrangement. So there's a guy who's really close, and then a guy who's slightly farther away, and there's all over the field. So as the batter hits, if it's really close, if it's sharp, the close guy gets it, and then it goes up.
Right.
And they try to bat so that the ball goes to one of those guys.
Right.
They don't wear gloves.
No, they don't.
So imagine your first baseman or your pitcher in a baseball game pitching the ball and then catching it without gloves. Now, that's okay. Now imagine standing around for 2 hours in the hot sun with shit happening.
Yep.
And then somebody hits a ball at your head that you have to catch in your bare hands.
Yep.
And once I realized that happened in cricket, I'm like, oh, this is a game.
No, it's the athleticism is there. The strategy is there. It's a very cool sport. I don't understand it.
It's very slow. The other thing that happened, and I was in England, and I described this to the bartender. I was explaining American football to him, and he was explaining.
Okay.
I was watching, I don't know, England and Pakistan, and they're bit bowling, and the guy's doing, you know, they run up, and they do these big over-exaggerated bowling things.
Yep.
And over and over and over. And then he just gets up there, and he throws the ball at the guy. Just literally looks like.
Did he bounce it, or did he just throw it at him?
No, he threw it. Like, boom, I'm going to beam you in the head.
Okay.
And that's okay. Yeah. You can do that in cricket.
What?
That's not like a base. That's not like anything.
That's just a thing you can do.
And I asked about it.
Deadly missile.
So there's no requirement to bounce it. The bouncing it is to try to get some action on it so it comes in at an angle and it's harder to hit.
Got it.
And what had happened, because he'd watched some of this game, what had happened is the batsman was getting in front of the wicket.
Oh. So
it looked like he was throwing it at the batsman, but it was right in line with the wicket. It so happened the batsman was in there. The
way. Okay.
Straight at his head.
Got it.
And he had to hit it, or it was going to hit the wicket and put him out. So it was like this crazy play that the bowler did, but I'm this guy. It looks like he just up and threw the ball like an American pitcher right at the frickin'.
That's awesome.
Batsman's head. And I was awesome. What the hell? This is a great game.
It just takes 3 hours. Imagine
baseball, you can just throw the ball at the batter.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's a strike. It's a ball, but I hit you. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, that's crazy. It's the time, I think, you know, because a test takes 3 days, and that's obscene. Yeah.
Test matches are long and slow.
Yeah,
and boring.
A lot like American baseball.
No, American baseball is actually very interesting. I will defend it.
The short matches where they do 50 overs, which is 300 pitches, are also weird because I was watching one of those, and they just like walked off the field partway through the game.
Every time I've tried to watch cricket, it just ends with no indication of what's happening, and everyone just leaves. Like, everyone knows what's going on, and they just walk away. And it's not like the announcers are like, we're coming up to the last 10 pitches, here we go, here's 10, 9, 8, 7. No, there's no indication anywhere.
Nothing. And I asked about that as well, because that was like, how come you just like, yep, I'm done playing, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, when there's a fixed number of balls you can throw, comes a point where the other team can't actually win.
Oh, it's a mathematical limitation. Okay.
And sometimes that's like halfway through the game.
Oh, damn.
And so, we're done. Yeah.
So it's a lot like if you're winning top of the ninth. If you're winning at the top, there's no point in playing the bottom of the ninth because it's over.
Yeah.
But in the fourth.
Right. Or like electoral college election calculation.
Yeah.
Like there's a point where it's like, all right, well,
we're calling it. It's done.
It is done. Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah.
And so it's a wild game. I it's hard to watch here cause you don't see it, but I enjoy watching it. Mm-hmm, just the athleticism is there and the weird ass rules and back that everybody wears sweater vests.
Funny. Everyone's in white. Everyone is in white. The only way of knowing who's on the other team is because they have like hardware on.
Yeah,
and that's they're a batsman.
And there's two guys that run. It's like, what?
It's bizarre. Anyway, yes. well done to the British for giving themselves a reason to drink for 3 days straight and exporting that to the globe. And well done to America for simplifying a sport.
So America is based on a British game called Rounders.
Oh, it's not British cricket, it's Rounders.
You,
okay.
Which the British will tell you is what girls play.
They say the same thing about American football and rugby because American football players wear pads.
Yeah.
There's a joke there somewhere.
There is. It involves hockey players.
Hockey players are the toughest motherfuckers out there. You can't. I won't allow anybody to argue with me on that one.
I will throw an alternative toughest player out there. Australian rules football. That's like hockey with no pads.
Yeah, but it's slower.
It is absolutely slow.
Hockey and is
nothing
fast.
Is traveling 140 miles an hour at your head.
Yeah, yeah. Or players doing 30.
Yeah.
I will offer the toughest players in the toughest game of all time.
Smash Bros.
I was going to say GoldenEye N64.
Honestly, for mental toughness, I don't think there's anybody better than a competitive fighter in it, like a competitive fighting game on a professional level.
Yeah.
Those guys are insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Street Fighter, the, or Smash Bros. Or
the smack talk on a Street Fighter game,
and they're cultured because they always sing finish hymns, right?
And on that bombshell,
that's not my joke. I stole it.
That's a phenomenal joke.
I know. And,
it's on the list. I think that's a great place to end. So I think with that,
with the finish him,
the finish him. And
I'm done.
This has been the One Man Revolution podcast. You can find the show anywhere fine podcasts are distributed. We're on the fruit based one, or the river based one, or the bot based one. Or anywhere, any app really. And if you don't want to deal with apps, you can always download the show. High quality original audio, no ads, no interruptions at onemanrevolution.org. As always, you can find the show. There's a bug in my office. You can find the show live on Facebook at facebook.com/OMR podcast every Friday, give or take 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I think with that, I'm the comrade.
I'm the Canadian.
And I'm the artist.
And the revolutionary was here for about 30 seconds and he left, but he's back. So next week, things will probably be back the way they were. And until next time, peace.